Welcome to Knowledge on the Go, the podcast brought to you by the PI Programs team at Vizient. I'm Shannon Sullivan, Performance Improvement Administrative Fellow here at Vizient and your host for today's episode. Artificial intelligence has been helping improve healthcare for years, but just recently we have witnessed a major shift in capability, buy-in, and attention. Healthcare systems across the country are asking the question, how do we safely and effectively use AI to improve our work? Today, we are talking to Sathya Vijayakumar, Senior Clinical Operations Manager with Clinical Excellence at Intermountain Health, to hear more about her team's work on an initiative that won Intermountain Health Most Innovative Use of AI in Healthcare at the 2024 Healthcare Analytics Summit around improving observed mortality using AI-based triggers for care management. Sathya, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Shannon. It's a pleasure to be here on with you.
Can you tell us at a high level about this initiative?
Where do I even begin? Shannon, that is a great question. This initiative stemmed out of the fact that a lot of times in healthcare, patients don't receive the right level of care at the right time. And since we partnered with Vizient in 2018, it really gave us an opportunity to identify when and where that was happening. And once we started benchmarking with Vizient, we realized we had a lot of potential in observed mortality. And when we delved into it, we were able to identify that a lot of our patients were not getting the right level of care at the right time. And that's how this initiative came up, where as much as what we did impacted and improved our Vizient outcomes, it really did make a difference to the patient at the end of the day.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the initiative. So what does this use of AI-based triggers, what does it really look like?
Absolutely. Happy to answer that. So what we're doing with this part of using AI for care management is we kind of use NLU, natural language understanding, that would actually go through a patient's chart throughout their encounter and look for keywords like poor prognosis or terminal care, comfort measures, and key phrases that represent a patient is really highly moribund and are likely to pass away at that encounter. And knowing how short-staffed care management is and how everybody's trying to do their best with their limited resources, we're using these AI-based triggers to kind of surface these cases to care managers so they can triage better and make sure they can take care of the patient that actually needs their attention the most.
That's really interesting. And was this happening in one unit or throughout the hospital?
For example, let me give you this background behind this initiative. So when we started looking at our observed mortality, it first started with one of our physician advisors reviewing about 150 patients that passed away within 24 hours of entering our health system. And when we did those reviews, we realized a lot of these patients did come in through the ED. And that's how our partnership and collaboration with the care managers in the ED on the hospital floor, as well as utilization review care management, started. And I remember very specifically our ED care management director. She told me the story that really made an impact. And she said, there was this case where an old lady comes in with her grandchild, and this is me taking in my 92-year-old grandmother. She's having a hard time to breathe. She's got really severe pneumonia. But as soon as she walks into the ED, they're like, okay, oh my gosh, we need to help her to breathe. So they put her on a ventilator, go to the pulmonologist, do all that stuff. And 3 days later, poor grandma has really poor prognosis and they're having goals of care discussion. And that's when this care management director, she said, that grandchild told me that day, and it left an impact where she said, I was ready to have this conversation when I brought grandma into the ED 3 days ago. Like, people didn't even take a minute to step back and see what would the family like, what would the patient want, right? To have that conversation right there 3 days before they did a Hail Mary on grandma. So that kind of what got us started on this journey. And we said, it is a culture change. But there are a lot of patients and families who really want to have these goals of care conversation when they enter the health system, not 5 days after. So that should hopefully give a background for why we started this initiative.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. So it sounds like you saw that high observed mortality could be connected in some ways to not having these goals of care conversations early. So this AI trigger allowed case managers to really prioritize which patients are going to need those conversations earlier, which helps them get the care that's best suited for them and helps also probably just reduce the overall expenditure of resources that may not even be what the patient needs or really wants. This is really, really interesting initiative. So we understand what launched this initiative. Can you tell me how this AI-based trigger actually works? So what's the process? Maybe not too technical. I don't have a very technical background, but a little bit, is this happening in the EMR? Can you just kind of go through maybe a little bit of the technical process of where the case managers are seeing this information and how this trigger occurs?
Happy to, Shannon. So as much as our journey started with our focus on the ED care management workflows, we do realize that this work that I'm talking about is actually helping our care managers on the inpatient floors, because the patient's already on the floor, they've been admitted, and then they have really poor prognosis, or they're looking for comfort measures for end of life. So it is hard for care managers, even on the floor, to go have those conversations with the patients and the family. So we have this trigger, because when you're two care managers on a floor of 100 beds, you don't have the time to flip through so many charts to identify these are the patients that need my attention the most. We've partnered with our HIM vendor, and the AI, the natural language understanding, it goes through the patient chart over time at that encounter, and then it surfaces out a list. And this list is actually then looked at by the care manager, and they can, instead of manually triaging 100 charts, they're looking at 20 charts that are surfaced by this AI. But going back to my original point of what are we doing in the ED, I would say we actually have another algorithm that's more homegrown. It's not through our HIM vendor. With that tool, what we're doing is we are looking at things like a patient's Charlson comorbidity index, how many times in the past year have they entered our health system, how many ED visits have they had a palliative consult before, have they got their advanced directives and polls done. So there are some metrics we're using even in the ED, but that's a homegrown AI product that we're still working on, and it is, again, embedded within the EMR. So it is a multifaceted problem, but this particular project was for the hospital in-floor care management.
That makes sense. So what was the experience of testing this out? Was it hard to create buy-in with the care management team? Was there a learning curve? Did you start with a pilot group? Can you tell me a little bit about what the experience of growing this initiative was?
Absolutely. As any new project goes, right, change is hard. Change is really hard. So I'd be lying if I said, oh yeah, we had buy-in on day one. People were willing to roll with it. No, absolutely not, right? And we're still evolving every day as we talk through this, right? So we did pilot. You're right. We did pilot at our flagship Intermountain Medical Center, our biggest level one trauma center. The care management team there, they are the busiest. So we did pilot with them, and we actually noticed a significant improvement in utilization of hospice and providing patients the right level of care at the right time. So that was a huge success, where we had one care manager. It was actually a care management director, believe it or not. She took the initiative. She actually went through all those triggers, because it's still not embedded within our EMR. It's a separate work queue they have to look at in our HIM vendor's interface. So it's outside of their workflow. But for our pilot, it really worked, because every single case that was triggered, our care management director reviewed it. And we found that almost 25% of the cases that got end of life, goals of care, right care, would not have been captured if it hadn't been for our triggers, which is a huge, huge impact for the patient and patient experience. That's our goal. That's what we want to provide, is the best care for our patient and their families. So that was our pilot. But then when we wanted to roll it out to the system, and know that Intermountain is a 33 hospital system, but when we started this out, we had our legacy team of 25 hospitals. It was really not well received because it was outside of the standard care management workflow. So we had to be creative. And what we've done now is we have actually our physician advisors. We have a physician every morning who goes into our HIM vendors interface. They review the triggers. And we have a chat that's a system-wide care management chat. And our physicians just throw in the account number and the facility that patient is at, because they're clinical and they're clinicians. They can tell this is a patient that will really benefit from a care management conversation. So we kind of have taken point on it from the physician advisor services group, where we review it and we just alert the care management team. So whoever's at whatever facility, they see their account, they pick it up and they do what they need to do. So that's how we've adopted it, till it can seamlessly integrate within our EMR.
That makes a lot of sense, bringing in that clinical perspective, but still having these care managers who their role is sort of these auxiliary care support, be the ones to really have these end of life or these healthcare conversations. It makes sense to kind of marry these two together. Other than change management, were there other barriers or sticking points that as you were building this out, you had to navigate? And other than maybe looking at the observed mortality rates, what are things you are measuring to determine the success of this initiative?
Shannon, thank you. That is a wonderful question, right? Because clearly, if you don't measure what you're doing, you cannot improve, right? So when we set out to do this improvement, like I said from the beginning, it was all about the patient, and we have to do right by our patients. So clearly we do measure patient experience, which we have seen. We actually have a lot of patient experience stories where they've come back and told us, this is just what we needed. So that, I think, by far is the most rewarding metric that shows success. And obviously, we cannot ignore the fact that our observed mortality in Vizient has significantly improved. We've hit top decile in mortality within 3 years in the midst of a pandemic. So that's saying something, because it's just a handful of observed mortalities that can tank your mortality in Vizient Q&A. So that is definitely another measure we do track.
Yeah, incredible to hear. I'm not surprised this project received an innovation award. It's a really unique case for AI. Would you say that you see this as an ideal type of project for organizations who may be concerned about the risks, especially clinical, when it comes to using AI to support patient care?
Shannon, that is a million-dollar question, right? I mean, with AI today, nobody can say it's never going to replace clinical care. It's never going to replace human judgment. And even as we use these AI-based triggers and alerts that Intermountain is so innovatively using, we've never, ever meant for it to replace clinical judgment, right? We always call this a workflow decision support tool, and not a clinical triage tool, if you know what I mean. Like, we are never going to take away the human element of it. And that's saying something. With everything that we can do, we can only augment our workflows, improve our processes. But I don't foresee anything like this replacing the clinical judgment of a clinical caregiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share recommendations or key takeaways from your experience with this initiative for those who may want to build something similar at their organization?
Sure. Happy to answer that, Shannon. The first step to solving a problem is acknowledging that you have one. So I think the first step where I would have people focus is identify what is the problem you're trying to solve. And then you can identify all your stakeholders, because every problem is not solved by just one party. There's always other stakeholders. Identify all your other key stakeholders. And that's when you really identify where the crux of your problem is. And then I think using AI or using process improvement methodologies, you can just arrive at what you can do to help resolve your concern. I believe in healthcare, almost all your problems are to improve patient care, to do what's right for your patients. And I think that is by far the most important thing. At least at Intermountain Health, we always put our patients first. So,
well, I think that is definitely a great takeaway. So my final question for you today, Sathya, what's next? Is there a plan to expand this further or regularly update the model you're using for your algorithm?
Absolutely. We are definitely regularly updating our algorithm. So for example, I can tell you, when we first started our NLU 2 years ago, we had phrases like patient might pass away within the next 48 hours. So there was contextual learning, right? If we said looking for comfort measures, you could look at a pediatric note and it would come back and say, oh, the infant underwent comfort measures by the nurse. So it was contextually picking up different terminologies, if you will, just because it did not have the context. So we have to constantly evolve and help the algorithm learn that when we're looking for a certain trend, look for the context in which it's used. So that's constantly going to happen, right? And that's true with any AI. You're going to have to keep giving it more training data to make it better. And then secondly, do we hope to expand what we're doing? Absolutely. Like, work is in progress to make it a part of our EMR. Right now, like I said, it's a third-party interface with our HIM vendor. It's not embedded within our EMR. So that is happening, but on the ED side, because it's homegrown, it's actually embedded within our EMR, but we don't have those NLU modules. We're just using some rules-based criteria, looking for some comorbidity scores and certain other criteria. We're hoping with every year we'll make incremental improvements, but I think that's the point of this, right? We're never going to reach perfection. It's always going to get better. We learn and we'll grow with it.
Well, I can't wait to see what's next coming out of Intermountain Health. You all do such innovative work there. Congratulations on the award for this very important and valuable project. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Knowledge on the Go. I'd like to thank Sathya Vijayakumar for speaking with us today. And thank you to our listeners for taking the time to join us. And please look for future Knowledge on the Go podcasts. For Vizient's PI collaborative team, I'm Shannon Sullivan. Please join us for more Knowledge on the Go. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments at PI Collaboratives@vizientinc.com.